fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K Millie in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Part of our mission, of course, cover the news that matters to each and every person living in Idaho and America. I know that's a lofty goal, but the idea of eminent domain, the idea of private property, the idea of controlling your own destiny, certainly not unique to Idaho, not unique to America, and that's what we'll be discussing today. Joining us is Sandy Smith. She's co-owner of a property under threat from the city of Eagle. Her attorney, Chad Lamer, is with us. Folks, good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
So this is an issue that, thanks to my semi-recent acquisition of Mrs. Miller that I'm familiar with, we've covered it, this roundabout in Eagle, this big issue in Eagle. First of all, you had ACHD wanting a roundabout. Then we had the Eagle City Council wanting one. Then we had them on. Then the people organized against it. But now this issue of eminent domain, every person that owns property, every person that has a dream of property ownership scares them, where the government can come in and take your land, appears to be about to happen, could happen, allegedly happen in Eagle. So, first of all, let's give us some background of this of what's going on.
Well,
Chad, why don't you take the floor?
More than happy to, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what we have here is we have a property owner that owns property at the corner of Eagle and State, and everybody's familiar with it. It's a former gas station.
A historic former gas station, yes.
Yes,
former. I pass it when I go to Shaw's, yes.
So everyone's seen it. They know what property we're dealing with. And within the city of Eagle, the city has created a urban corporation. It's an urban redevelopment authority. And we call them URAs for short. And the URA has certain powers, and one of those powers is the ability to use eminent domain should they find that a property is deteriorating, or the term of art is blight. And that's really what we're faced with here today, is we're faced with a URA that wants to exercise its eminent domain power to take a property that it feels is blighted.
Well, and that property has been vacant for many years, and now I believe you're ready to – you've put the property up for sale, right?
Well, you know, it's the economy's improved, and we've decided it's time. We've, you know, like you said, the roundabout's supposedly a done deal again. So, you know, that kind of hung over our head for quite a while until that was resolved. So now we're moving on. The economy's improving a little bit, and we have interest in renovating the building and getting a business in there this summer. We want to get busy and get something done.
So you were just going on your merry way of being a local business owner, a proud member of the community. When did y'all hear about the possibility of this, and how would that work where this new group would come in, and would they buy your property? Do they take your property? How does that work?
Well, what happens is the URA would present an offer, and they would negotiate back and forth with the landowner. And if they couldn't reach agreement, then potentially the URA could go forward and say, we're going to file a lawsuit, and we're going to proceed with eminent domain. And so there's this cloud that hangs over the head of any property owner where they're faced with this potential to either negotiate and accept an offer they may feel is not up to value, or, you know, get their property taken by eminent domain.
Sure. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So have they talked to you about this?
Well, we've had, you know, some talks. I went in a year ago even and told them that we had a potential lessee and that we were going to move forward with renovating. And that didn't happen for different reasons. You know, some of it was part of the city and some of it was HHD.
Well, there was a big concern that has been covered extensively on this program and others, that you know, it was uncertain what was going to happen.
Right.
Whether or not it's going to be the traffic light or the roundabout, and those businesses there, as you well know, will be detrimentally impacted by that. And
right.
So to me, it would seem impossible to make any type of long-term plan until you knew what was going to happen at that intersection.
And it is now, because we, like I said, we've had a multitude of calls and interested parties, but you know, they hear this eminent domain is hanging over our head, and they're not willing to jump into a contract when they don't know whether the government's going to come in and take it from us, you know, before they can even get the contract signed. So lessees or potential buyers, you know, they're like, hey, this is a great location. I would love to be here. This is, you know, the place to be.
Right.
But there's this eminent domain thing hanging over our head. So we're trying to move forward. We're trying to be proactive. We're trying to be a business and get a business down there opening their doors this summer, not a potential park or something that's not going to bring revenue to the city. We're trying to, you know, make small business happen.
Well, and you take a look at that whole State Street, Old State Street, you've seen a lot of revival. You've got the new Idaho Youth Ranch Plaza in there. You've got a lot of things going on. And again, you have to wait until, you know, the economy recovers in that location. Right. Just have to drive through Eagle once. That's about the best location in the city.
Yes, it is.
So again, we have these factors impacting the decision. If all of a sudden now, not only do you have the uncertainty about the roundabout that refuses to die,
right,
but the idea that the city might jump in,
right,
that's got to scare off any potential buyers.
Right. It's a tough call. And like I said, you know, people want to know, why is this property sat here for so long? These are the issues. Traffic has been one of them. You know, ACHD's plans that have been part of the program of trying to do something with the downtown area, which, quite frankly, they've done all that they need to do. They put an intersection light in there. They went from a two-way stop to a four-way stoplight, and that's all they need to do down there. That's why the bypass was built, to move all the traffic around the downtown area. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to continue to do, is build roadways outside of the downtown area to get people where they need to go to and from work and home.
All right.
You know, Kevin, when I think about this issue and I think about the powers that the URA has, and specifically the remediation or removal of blight, you know, Sandy said, hey, we've gone out and we've tried to make improvements to the building. And if you've driven past this thing within the last few months, you've seen that those Jersey barriers have been removed, that they've gone and they've painted it. She's engaged an architect to help with renovation so that they can provide a tenant-ready suite. And she also has a commercial broker. So she has been in the market to try to get this building occupied and become a revenue-generating source for the city. And we've asked the URA, we have requested that they back off their plans and just stop with this eminent domain action. And that's part of the reason why she's in the position that she is today, is they have not backed off those plans.
Well, they haven't acknowledged all the work that we have done. They haven't even acknowledged that we've, like he said, we've repainted, we've removed the barriers, we've fixed the windows, we've, you know, cleaned up the lot. And it's like, you know, are they, because even before they even said that they were going to go to eminent domain, you know, they have, all these things were done prior to them. And then we did all these things, and now they go, oh, now we're going to do eminent domain. And we're like, what are you talking about? You know, you wanted it cleaned up. We want to move forward and do a business and get this corner back into the renovation.
Sure. Let's go to the phones at 580-KIDO. We'll go to Patty in CUNA. Patty, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to share my experience. We have recently purchased a commercial property, and I won't say what town it's in. But if I knew then what I know now, would have never purchased the property. Because it's that whenever business goes in there and what you try to do, all of a sudden City Hall comes up with all these regulations that are unbelievable to deal with.
Is that in CUNA or is that somewhere else?
No, I'm not saying what town it's in, because we're still dealing with City Hall.
But, you're actually afraid to mention the town because you're repercussions?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. So
well, it
my
must be
advice
pretty close
be,
to Eagle or in Eagle as far as I'm concerned.
When if they're going to do eminent domain, they have to pay you fair market value. I would take the money and run as fast as you can, because whether you sell it to somebody else, then they are going to have to bow down and
well, I think
do
that,
all the
Patty,
regulations.
I think that's the issue, though. She can't sell it now, because who wants to go in and have the city all of a sudden take something over you just bought and say they're the boss of you?
Right. So, like I said, take the money and run. That's my advice.
From the city.
Bye-bye.
Well, all right. Bye-bye. Well okay. Patty wants to make sure that the whatever city doesn't get her. So. Yeah, where do we go from here?
Well,
that's what I
was just
going
to say, you know, take the money, run. Of course, obviously, there's, you know, their idea of what the property's worth versus and what they want to do with it versus what we want to do with it. And, you know, this is all about property rights. We should be allowed to do what we want to do with our property. And we're saying that we want to get a business in there right now, not a couple years and build a big Taj Mahal to the city. We want to do it now.
I think they have one of those in Meridian. Let's go to our friend Alma, who second day in a row is on the program. Good morning, Alma.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Me? I'm consistent.
And I am grateful for that. Thank you. Well, I wanted to issue my sincere condolences to your guest, because, you know, it seems to me that when the state of Idaho or the city or whomever decides that they want to get their paws on your property, they're able to do so with, you know, at their leisure, which is really extremely troubling to me. But I wanted to ask the attorney, and I am so sorry, I did not catch his name.
Chad.
I wanted to ask Chad something, because this, I was really intrigued by the economic development piece of this. And the reason why is because in our oil and gas bills, Title 47, Chapter 3, they 16%.
Hold on. Before we get to this, see, yes. This is not an ordinary talk show. We have people that are very, very, very educated in the legal process, Chad. The look on your face was quite amazing there. Don't mess with Alma.
You know, anytime I hear sections of the Idaho Code quoted to me, I immediately just, my ears perk up, and it's a great day for me. So, but yeah, Alma, you mentioned, and you didn't get a finish, but I think I know where you're going is, hey, can the URA use eminent domain for economic development purposes? And the answer to that question is no. The Idaho legislature has come out and they've really done a service to property owners, and they've said, no, you cannot do that. And that's written into our code. And so, you know, that's one of the things that that we have, you know, to protect property owners here.
Well, the reason I ask that is because in this section, it basically 16% of the 1% that goes to the counties is transferred into a local economic development account that's created basically, well, quote, that is hereby created in the agency asset fund. So the other part of my question, Chad, had to do with...
Oh, a two-parter. Go ahead, Alma.
Yes, thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
Well, because I've been dying to get the answer to this, because it's very confusing to me. There are a lot of local county commissioners and city officials who sit on these various economic development agencies. And so my question is twofold. Are they entitled to receive, you know, any kind of personal funding, salaries, things like that? And if so, does that fall into their PERC account? Because obviously...
Okay, Alma, Alma.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
you know, Alma, here's the thing. I don't have an answer to that question, but I can tell you really, you know, you mentioned some things that seem to be important to you, and that was whether or not, you know, eminent domain could be used for economic development. And basically, you mentioned some things about how in Idaho, basically how we feel about the use of eminent domain. And I think that's very important. You know, in Idaho, I think we pride ourselves on our property rights. We are a property rights state. And so I guess really what you have to ask yourself is, what is the vision for your government, for your elected officials? And you know, is that the use of eminent domain?
Well, I don't have the answer either, Alma. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Have fun in the court today, all right?
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, give us an update. Thank you.
All right, I will. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. More coming up next, 819-580-5436. Eagle Eminent Domain, your calls, your thoughts next. Let's get you to work safely.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
We continue on talking about Eminent Domain. Could it happen in Eagle? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So now these folks at the URA have contacted you.
Well, actually, I've worked with the URA along with the Tri-City Meats property, which is next to ours,
right,
on trying to do a development group together because we would own three lots together down there. There's only four lots in that whole entire block. The Rembrandt's Coffee House is on one, which used to be the old Methodist Church, and Tri-City owns the west side, both lots, and then I own the east side where the Rembrandt's is. So anyway, we've been trying to work with the Urban Renewal for 5-6 years already. And, between trying to find a developer and
economic. Well, look, you've been in the crosshairs for quite some time because everybody goes, hey, when's she going to do something with that lot? I mean, I've heard that on the streets for years.
Right. Well, now you're going to get the real story.
All right.
We've owned that property since 1983 and ran our service station out of it for many years. And until we built the new, when everybody changed over from the old garage stations to the convenience stores.
Sure.
We needed more property and needed to add more amenities like the car wash and things like that. So we got a bigger lot and moved down the road. So now we're on the new best corner in town.
Right. I see. So who makes up the Eagle Urban Renewal Agency?
Well, normally it's a... usually a city council is on one membership of the board, and usually a lot of times it's other members of the community.
It's supposed to be like independent.
Right. But our particular Urban Renewal Council has been changed over to be primarily just the city council. So it used to be that independence, and I think there was one or two city council members on it back before 2012 until the current city council took it over.
What does that mean, Chad?
Well, I think it means that for generally all purposes, you're dealing with the city council when you're dealing with the URA. And that could be, that has its own unique challenges. But basically, it's, there is this separation. Supposedly, they're the URA, and then they put on a different hat, and they're the city council. But they are the same members.
Is that a conflict of interest?
I don't think it's necessarily a conflict of interest. I just think that when you appear before the URA or you're doing business with them, you should realize that you're really dealing with the city council.
Now, is this just an Eagle-only issue?
I can't answer that. I really don't know as far as URA.
Let me ask Sandy. You think this is an Eagle-only issue when it comes to eminent domain?
Well, I think the city of Eagle has had two eminent domain cases in the last 2 years. I think that's a problem.
Why do you think they want your property?
I don't know, because we've done everything we said we were going to go do, and we're currently still trying to renovate it and get people in there, and we've got many interested parties. But, again, I thought the Urban Renewal was here to help renovate downtown, not take private property away from people.
Is that your fear? They're going to take your property?
Well, I think it's everybody's fear at this point, if they can take mine. A prominent business owner in Eagle for 30 years. Who's next?
Well, when we take a look at this in a broader perspective, and you've said you've tried to talk to them, you've worked with them, and if you were getting somewhere, you wouldn't be here with us.
Maybe. I think,
I don't want to lead you, but it just seems to me that from what I'm hearing, and again, we always offer everybody from every side of the story to come on, and we've had folks on from the city council and the mayor and others to come on this program, but it seems to me that whether it's the roundabout or this situation or anything else, there's a disconnect, and we'll be politically correct. We won't say they're out of touch, but we'll just say there's a disconnect here.
Well, that's very polite.
Well, we're a polite show, at least with you folks in here. I think Chad's going to make sure that we stay polite, but, there seems to be a disconnect, whether it's the situation involving you and your property or the roundabout with the city council, the URA, and everybody else here.
I think the city council hasn't gotten what they wanted. They didn't like our answers. They don't appreciate anything that we have done to try to clean up the property. And We've listed it in December. What's the sudden urgency for eminent domain? In the middle of February, we've actually gotten that building painted. It was a nice day. It got done. And I don't know how many other buildings can get painted in the middle of February in Idaho.
In this February, yes.
Yeah.
But so what would you let me ask both of you here, because, again, we're all about solutions. So what would you like to accomplish from being on this program today? Because, you know, everybody's listening that is impacted or could be impacted by this. So right. Talk directly to them, ma'am.
Well, the building sat there, and we have finally gotten things hammered out between the traffic issues and other things that have gone on over the years that have held us from doing anything with that property. We're actively trying to do something with that property, and now yet we have another roadblock. So, you know, people want to know, well, why hasn't anybody done anything with that property? Well, there's lots of issues of why we haven't done anything. And most of it isn't because we haven't wanted to. We're trying to get a business in there now. We're trying to have something going on at that location, which is a fabulous location for any business. I don't care what kind of business you have.
And you said it's the second best.
Well, no, I said my other one's the new downtown.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that this isn't a done deal yet, and that's really what you know, one of the reasons why we're happy to be on your program, Kevin. We really appreciate that. And one of the things is this afternoon at 6 o'clock, there will be a public hearing at City Hall on this issue of what's the vision look like for the community. I mean, is this something that the community endorses? Do they want to see eminent domain used in these types of manners? And if they do, then they should come out and say, yeah, hey, we want to see eminent domain. If they're not, if they don't think that that's the appropriate vision for the city, then I would say come out and let your council members know how you feel about the use of eminent domain in the city of Eagle.
That's tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's correct, and that's at City Hall.
All right. Anything else?
It's in your backyard. It's in everybody's property rights to protect their property. And that's just what we're trying to do. And we, like I said, we're trying to be proactive. We're doing everything that anybody would want to see done to that property. But with the roadblocks is...
Well, hopefully they're listening and they'll allow you to do some business and bring some business into the city of Eagle. That's really what you want.
Right.
All right. Thank you, folks. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
News Len Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up, more of your calls concerning eminent domain in Eagle. Big town hall meeting, big city council meeting tonight at 6. Joining us now to talk about BBBBBB, Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington, John Decker and from Fox News Radio. Apparently, you and your Fox colleagues are running around hanging outside the speaker's office for their private meeting going on right now.
That's right. That's what Fox News does as a news organization. We go right to the source. And, you know, the prime minister has already arrived up here on Capitol Hill. He'll be delivering this speech to a joint session of Congress within the hour. Demand far exceeds the supply of tickets for this address to a joint session of Congress. But as you know, Kevin, there are a number of Democrats. The number is about 50 who will be skipping this speech altogether.
You know, on one hand, you have the anticipation. You have the prime minister saying he's not there to bash the president, not there to embarrass the country. But on the other hand, if he's not going to do that, what do you think he's going to say?
Well, we already know a little bit from some Israeli officials who have given a preview of the prime minister's remarks to a number of Fox News colleagues of mine. The prime minister's address will focus specifically on the content of this provisional deal that negotiators are struggling to finalize with the Iranians in Geneva. The Israelis expect for senior administration officials in the aftermath of this address to denounce the Israeli prime minister for what they will be considering to be improperly disclosing sensitive or even classified material relating to the terms under negotiation. But the Israelis say all of the things that the prime minister will discuss regarding the content of that deal are things that are already out there in the public domain.
John Decker joining us from Fox News live from Capitol Hill. Last night on the Kelly File, Congressman Stephen Cohen said this about Benjamin Netanyahu in his speech today.
Hurt by this speech, and I think it has been hurt, because the bottom line is President Obama is the most important person in America for Israel to have a good relationship with. It's important that the commander-in-chief and the prime minister of Israel work together. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, this debate shouldn't be in Washington. The debate really is in Geneva.
There we have it. So, John, that does represent some of the folks that, as you've said, 55 Democrats that will not be in attendance of the speech today. What are you hearing from them?
Well, I think a lot of the same arguments that Congressman Cohen just said in that interview that you played. The speech's timing coming just 2 weeks before the prime minister's re-election campaign, the election, the vote will take place in Israel in 2 weeks. And also the content of the speech is also what Democrats are complaining about. That's another reason that they cite for boycotting the speech. I should mention that Republican leaders are expecting 100% attendance of their members. And congressional Republicans and the prime minister both support increased sanctions on Iran. I should mention there's a bill that is that will be taken up in Congress, in both the House and the Senate, which would toughen sanctions against Iran. And that bill has bipartisan support. Well over 60 members of Congress support that particular legislation.
You know, what do you think the Speaker and the Prime Minister are discussing right now, John?
I think that, first of all, it's a matter of discussing what the Prime Minister can expect in terms of the people that will be seeing the speech in person. This isn't the first time that the Israeli Prime Minister has addressed a joint session, but, you know, it's been a while. And certainly with these 50 or so Democrats who will be skipping the speech, I think that the House Speaker is giving the Prime Minister essentially the lay of the land. And perhaps, you know, it's just they're already familiar with one another, John Boehner and Benjamin Netanyahu. I think it's just a matter also of just catching up a little bit and finding out about what it is that the Prime Minister hopes to get out of this address to this joint session of Congress.
Well, you have the Secretary of State over the weekend saying the relations with Israel have never been closer, and yet you have, you know, you'd have to be living under a rock to not understand the tension there concerning this possible deal with Tehran.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And keep in mind, a week or so ago, the president's national security advisor, Susan Rice, said that this speech that the prime minister will be giving to Congress would be destructive to the U.S.-Israel relationship. And that kind of rhetoric is not helpful to either side. I think that what we're seeing over the course of the past few days, certainly we saw it yesterday at the White House, is sort of a tamping down of that rhetoric and a more conciliatory tone coming from both the U.S. and the Israeli side.
John Decker joining us, a historic day in Capitol Hill. Anything else going on? I mean, you're always covering the story behind the story.
Well, you know, it's interesting that I should mention what the president will be doing while this speech will be going on. He won't be watching this speech. We learned this morning of an addition to the president's schedule. While the Israeli prime minister speaks to Congress, the president will be leading a video conference with some of his counterparts, British Prime Minister Cameron, the French president, the German chancellor, the Italian prime minister, also the European Commission president, and they'll be discussing Ukraine and global security issues. So if the president wants to see this speech, he'll have to either DVR it or maybe see some excerpts on his favorite news program.
As we see the Senate, I guess, on their way to go see this speech, I think actually our good friend Senator Shaheen from New Hampshire is going to be there. I'm just watching the live feed, John, as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, just a handful of senators will not be attending this speech. I think the number's about 10 or so. Most senators are looking past, you know, the way that the invitation was extended and giving due respect to, you know, America's closest ally in the Middle East. That's Prime Minister Netanyahu representing the state of Israel.
John Decker, always on the scene, this time from Capitol Hill. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Have a great day.
You too. John Decker joining us. How do we top that? Well, the most eclectic morning show in the country. If not, we're going to say it is anyway. Mark from Eagle joins us. Thanks for your patience, sir. You're on 580 KIDO.
Hey, Kevin. First off, I want to make a quick comment. I think Obama is nothing but a traitor to Israel. I think he'd like to see it wiped off the map. That's my feelings.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were Mark from Boise. Are you Mark from Boise or are you Mark
from Eagle?
Eagle
now.
Okay.
For the last 20-plus years.
Welcome.
And I'll tell you, I've seen it. I saw Sandy has down there. I've met them both. They've been customers of mine. But she's asking $1.2 million for that property is no way is that property worth, especially in its present condition. what she's asking for. She has fought with the city. I've gotten involved with some of the work, things going on here in the city in the past over things, and it isn't the people who are on the city council. It doesn't seem to be the mayor. She's had feuds with those people in the past. That you could put, she talked about painting that place. You could put lipstick on a pig, but it is still a pig. She wants that building to stay right where it's at. She expects somebody to buy it and maintain the building in its present condition or restore it, but leaving the same structure there is what I've heard through people on the city council and former mayors. So I don't know where she's going with that. She didn't give a thorough explanation as to why she seems to have a problem with the city. But I'll tell you, I'm one of many here in this town that would love to see that thing torn down and something put in there in its place that is more appealing and more of an attraction to downtown Eagle than that ugly eyesore.
She said she wants to bring in a business.
If they keep that same building there. That's the biggest problem. She wasn't put on the spot. I'm surprised nobody from Eagle has called in to elaborate further from her city council to at least call in and explain what her demands are for that building there, that she does not want it torn down. That's part of the demands. And it's too bad she still wasn't on there, because I'd love to put forth those questions to her. When the property value that they had, in fact, the Eagle Informer had a large article about what she was asking for that property and what the present day value of it is since the housing bubble burst. Commercial property values have gone down. They have not fully recovered. I don't care what Obama says. I don't care what anybody says. But she is asking way too much. Again, putting a paint job on something that's an eyesore is not making it.
Well, Mark, you're not a fan of big government, so you agree that.
No, I am not. You bet, sir. I believe
with
in property rights, but no, not the way she's handling it.
So, well, wait a minute. Let me ask you the question here at 580KIDO. Do you believe that the city should come in there and you know, hey, we're gonna pay you this and that's it?
If I think you need to get a third party mediator, and I think they've already gone through that with what the value of the property actually is, and she is still asking way too much for that property. It is not worth $1.2 million on that corner.
But isn't that her right to ask for whatever she wants? And if she gets it, great. If she doesn't, she deals with it.
I understand that, but there's a certain point to where she's got a problem with the city of Eagle. I don't know what it is.
No, they want to take her land.
Well, you know what?
You almost were going to agree with the government grabbing her land.
No, not fully. I see her side, but to a certain point, her demands far exceed what that is worth. And to demand that you want it, that same structure kept there, and just revitalize and remodel that same old structure, that's insane. That's part of her conditions that she's had on that property, and I hope she's still listening. I'd love to hear her call back and explain that one, because that has been something I've heard from city council people. So there's something that needs to be done. You don't go stick that in everybody's face, say, here, you're going to look at it till the day I die and make everybody suffer through it, seeing that blight there, because it's an ugly eyesore.
You should have called in when she was on.
I didn't get to the phone in time. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
You have a good day, sir.
All right, Mark and Eagle joining us. It is 8:50, Kevin Miller in the morning. What do you think? Do local governments have the right to take your property? 580-5436, kevin@kidoam.com. Let's get you to work.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hi-de-ho, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget, we'd love you to vote. 580KIDO.com. Is it appropriate for SNL to make fun of ISIS? Pro-Life joins us now at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, eminent domain is should only be used if a government is going to take land for a necessary government building or necessary government installation. Other than that, it's theft of property rights.
What do you make? You got Mark saying that Sandy has an issue with the city. You got Sandy going, it's my property. I can do with it what I want, and I'm trying to refurbish it.
Well, I always thought Mark was just a real strict constitutionalist, but they need to just back off of that. And I don't even believe cities should have urban renewal kind of things, and those are not the proper role of government. Property rights are diminished. It's theft. It's socialism, fascism, when governments involve themselves in renewing cities and taking properties by eminent domain. It's just wrong. So I'm saying the Eagle City Council is wrong.
You're saying it's wrong. She can do with her property what she wants.
All right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're a great American.
I know that.
And a humble one.
Yes.
Got to go. Thank you.
Okay.
Our great friend, pro-life. How do we top that? Ho-ho. It's our own Megyn Kelly. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling in about the eminent domain issue. They are talking, well, they've been talking for quite a while, about putting 16 right through the east end of, west end of Emmett. And they're going to end up buying a whole lot of property because we've got farmland around us. There's three of us stuck back here in a little corner that nobody knows about. In fact, the supervisors didn't even know we existed here a few years back. But I think eminent domain should be illegal. It should absolutely, positively be illegal. The government shouldn't be able to do this.
Linda, thank you. Got to run.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Our great friend, Linda from Emmett. Time for traffic now. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Don't forget to check out me on Twitter all the time, at Kevin Miller Show. 580KIDO.com. Great blogs, great insight. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. KIDO.